Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hey, it's Sprague here. Really appreciate you listening. You're about to get some podcast excellence. It's presented by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
Dirt and Sprague on Football Friday on 1080 The Fan.
The autumn wind is a pirate, blustering in from sea. With a rollicking song, he sweeps along, swaggering boisterously.
This is a Football Friday edition of Dirt and Sprague,
brought to you by Video Only. Video Only has better than Black Friday prices right now. Don't be sorry. Check out Video Only.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
All right, welcome back in. Hour number two, Dirt and Sprague here on a beautiful Football Friday. We're your pre game show.
Sounds like you're almost dropping an R there.
Well, you know, we push the lines.
You never know.
We have a lot to get into here. I got to be really forthright with you guys. There was a scheduling conflict that popped up with the Daily Ticker guest. And now they are currently in the air headed to Las Vegas for this game.
That makes it tough to do a phone interview when you're flying to Las Vegas.
Yes. And so we reached out a little later for, because our thing is, it's difficult. If you send a text after 7 p.m., it's up in the air at that point. Somebody might not respond, and then nobody's responding in the morning. So it's like you kind of have to set this stuff up early.
You do.
There was a scheduling snafu. And so we sent a text to another person. We have not heard back, and we have a text to another person. So fingers crossed on the Daily Ticker.
It's okay. There's a listener that texted in yesterday, said, I'd rather just listen to you two than hear some bad phone connection anyways.
Oh, so, amen, brother.
There you go. Maybe it just we'll interview each other on the Daily Ticker.
Yeah, you're not wrong there. By the way, we pulled the Brian Kelly stuff. If you didn't hear this yesterday, it was trending on Twitter. Brian Kelly got hired by LSU. And immediately people said, this isn't a good fit. He doesn't have the Cajun accent. He doesn't like shrimp. He doesn't like gumbo. Well, Brian Kelly evidently heard this talk. And so he was at it looked like a basketball game, a pep rally or something. Yeah. And he addressed the crowd. And just, I want you to take a listen, because we also pulled the part that you should listen for in case you miss it. Here is Brian Kelly.
Those incredible 12 years of my life, for me and my family, being here in Notre Dame.
It's a great night to be a Tiger. I'm here with my family, and we are so excited to be in the great state of Louisiana. But my family.
So Notre Dame, it was my family and
Tigers.
Now he is harnessed to the Edo.
My family. It's like he's almost going Colonel Sanders a little bit there on us. I feel like he's about to sell me a bucket of chicken or something.
My family.
It's finger licking.
Any of y'all making gator?
He is such a scumbag.
You think these Cajuns are upset by this, or are they just like, whatever, dude, do your thing, but win football games?
I don't think they care, as long as you're winning games. Now, if you're losing games and you're pulling out a fake Southern accent, then you're going to have some issues. But if you're winning games, you can say whatever the hell you want, man. That's all they care about in the SEC.
God bless them, dude. Trying to fit in, I guess. It's the equivalent of, a new kid in school? What is everybody wearing? I need to wear this.
It totally is.
All right, let's get into it. Oregon, Utah, round two in 3 weeks in Vegas. So no Rice Eccles magic at night. 5 o'clock kick. You're gonna hear it here on the Fan. How you feeling? I mean, it's game day. Let me ask you this: More Duck or Utah fan at this game?
More Utah fan for sure.
Okay.
I think so.
Because of the proximity of it?
I think the proximity helps. I think they're smelling blood a little bit. Like, this is a big night for Utah football. Oregon has won back-to-back conference championship games. They won the Rose Bowl in 2019. Utah has been desperately trying to get to that point since they got into this conference. And I think they feel like they got a decent shot at it, largely because of what happened 2 weeks ago. Why wouldn't you be confident going into this game after the way you beat the brakes off of Oregon 2 weeks ago? I will start by saying I am peanut butter and jelly that we're not there, because I love that the conference moved the game to Vegas. I think it was a great idea. Being in Santa Clara was one of the dumbest decisions they ever made. Nobody wants to go to Santa Clara. It's a horrible stadium to get in and out to. It just wasn't one of the worst spots you possibly could have put that football game. And so to have some juice around it again, to have it be a destination, you know, I've seen a lot of folks on Twitter. We had listeners texting in yesterday saying, hey, we're on our way. We're boarding a flight right now to Vegas. Saw some pictures. Phil Knight was there, you know, at a casino, banging on a glass and giving the O to Duck fans as they were walking by. So
I just saw that. I saw a picture from one of the Duck fans.
Yeah. I love that, man. I think there's excitement around actually going to this game. And it's always been one of the bigger jealousy things I've had as a Pac-12 fan, is we've tried to get this conference championship on par with some of the other conferences. You're never going to be the SEC, right, where you sell out an NFL stadium. The Big Ten does a pretty damn good job of that, and I'm sure the atmosphere is going to be crazy for Michigan and Iowa. But it was always embarrassing when you would turn on the game on Friday and it would be a 30% full stadium with no sound, no emotion. You know, you'd have to do a real close-in shot just to look like one section was full. And I'm hoping it being in Vegas, this becomes a like place to be, dude. Let's go. We're going to Vegas. It's a great trip. Who doesn't like going to Vegas and you get to watch a football game? So I am jealous that we're not there. And I can't wait to see just the aesthetics of the game for the first time being played in that new stadium, the Raiders' new stadium there. But, going into it, I think you have to feel okay as a Duck fan because of the way they looked last week. You know, if Oregon would have come out and limped into that Oregon State game, barely eked out a win, kind of looked like they let Utah beat them back-to-back weeks, I would have had a concern level that was a little bit greater. But the fact that they came out and played the first half that they did and showed me that they were pissed off by the way they lost that game, that they had flushed it, they had moved on, and I would argue they played their best half of football they played probably all season, up 24-3 against Oregon State at the half. It left me a little more confident. The other part of it is the injury news has been good all week. Noah Sewell's good to go. I know Mikel Wright went down in that game. He's supposed to be able to play. I think DJ Johnson's going to be back this week. So a lot of the guys that have been banged up and then some of them that missed the second half of that Oregon State game sound like they're back and healthy. And you say, here we go. Let's see if we can go win three conference titles in a row.
Yeah, I think... I'll push back a little bit just on one thing you said there. I know how big of a night this is for Utah. I'm probably with you. I think Utah fan edges you. I do think a decent contingent of Duck fan goes because it's Vegas. Yep. Yeah, isn't that the cool thing? It's what you're saying, right? It's like you go to Santa Clara.
I don't want to go to Vegas.
You're going an hour away from Frisco, so you don't really get San Francisco experience. Nope. You're going all the way out to that stadium, the parking, the in and out of it. It all reportedly sucks. I've never been there, but I've had people tell me it's awful. And now with Vegas, you get at least your team wins or loses, you're still in a good mood because you're in Vegas, right? It's an easy thing to cope with, and you get the weekend as you go in on a Friday game. The thing that I can't get out of my mind is the last matchup that these teams had in this stage. And this is where I push back a little bit. I do think Utah takes this game, and this is the, oh my God, can we finally get over this hump? Mario is really good at getting his team just as amped, and even though they're not playing for a playoff, to have kind of that same, that match that energy. And 2019 is a good example of Oregon and Utah both really humming, right there knocking on the door of the playoff. We almost had that game in the Pac-12 championship decide who was going to play LSU in the first round of the playoff. And a lot of people loved Utah. That season in 2019, Utah was giving up on average 81 yards on the ground. 81! Oregon that day in the Pac-12 championship game rushed for 239. So I think sometimes we get a little too reactionary to this of, well, Oregon lost to Arizona State and Utah took care of business. Right before I left for Vietnam that year, I remember saying on my last show, give me Oregon plus a 6 all day. And I remember seeing the score in Vietnam and going, not really surprised. This is where recruiting takes the leap ahead. Or at least where you like to see recruiting take a leap ahead. Utah's a good team. They're a respectable team. They've had a great program. Whittingham is one of the best. We love talking with him. This is where crystal ball, recruiting 4 and 5-star guys, and starting to establish some depth, this is where it takes place. Because you laid an absolute egg in Salt Lake City.
Could not have played a worse game.
Now, you get them 2 weeks later, and you have something to play for? A Pac-12 championship for the third time in a row? A Rose Bowl appearance against probably Ohio State? Yeah, I think Mario's going to have this team ready. You know, how confident I am? I'm not as confident as I was in 2019, and a lot of that has to do with Herbert versus Anthony Brown.
It's a bit of a difference there.
But I still really like Oregon tonight. Because I think these are the moments Mario can get his team up for. They had a dud, and I think there's a sour taste in their mouth. And I'm with you. The Oregon State game, you know, being there in orange and black at Autzen, not only do I want Oregon State to win, but I'm like, what is Oregon going to do this week?
It's a big question. The whole week leading into it.
And you're up three touchdowns at half. And I think in my mind, I said, yeah, they got their asses chewed out. They're ready to go. Pac-12 championship game. They'll be ready. And so tonight, a big moment for them. They're underdogs, which I think even despite what happened a couple weeks ago, you still take Mario in an underdog role, and now you have a Pac-12 title game and a Rose Bowl berth on the line. Yeah, this is where Mario's recruiting, I think, plays a huge factor in a matchup like this.
Well, and I want to give credit to some of the leaders on the team, too, because there have been years in Oregon football history where that playoff or championship dream has been taken from them late in the season. As a Duck fan, unfortunately, has happened far too often in my mind. But there's been years where they've spiraled out of control and they've stopped caring. And you've heard those comments from players back in the day, you know, the Helfrich year, whatever it was, 2013, like, we don't want to go to the Rose Bowl again. We've been there, done that. And so I think there is part of that inside of a locker room where you lose it. You're reaching towards that goal. All of a sudden that goal is taken away from you. There can be an aspect of, man, that just, you're so down, you're so bummed. And so to kind of put the pieces together and come back and play the way they did last week, I was really impressed by that. And there were reports after they lost to Utah that a handful of players after the game were just standing on the field, watching Utah celebrate, watching the fans kind of come out, and seeing the fireworks go off and just soaking it all in. And it's one of those, when you see it on Twitter that night, you're like, ah, great. That doesn't make me feel any better about losing a game 38-7 or whatever the final was. But it's one where you hope you're filing that away in your memory. Yeah. And then if you get another shot at them, which they now have, that you remember that. You remember the feeling and you take it out on them. A couple of like historical things that I find interesting for this game. First is Oregon has only done, if they are to win tonight, they've only won three straight conference championships one other time in the history of the program.
It's a pretty big feat. I know they didn't get to a playoff this year, but this is still like, let's have a little perspective here. That's pretty amazing to win three straight conference championships.
The only other time was 2009, 2010, 2011 with Chip Kelly, his first 3 years as head coach. And it should be pointed out as well, in two of those games, they didn't have to play in a conference championship game. In 2009, 2010, they won those regular season. That's what the Pac-10 was at the time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So this would be the only second time they've done that in program history. The other one is, this blew me away. I saw it yesterday and I had to double check. So the Pac-12 championship game has been around since 2011. For that Oregon-UCLA game, I remember being at that game. That was the first one they ever played. Do you know how many Pac-12 championships the South has won?
Zero. Or no, USC.
They got one.
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 Yeah.
Only one South team is. So Oregon won it, obviously. Stanford won a couple. Oregon won again.
Stanford, UW-Oregon.
Washington
like,
that's it. Won. That's it. And yeah. USC won the one random one in 2017. They won 31-28 over Stanford.
That was
USC
the lightning in a bottle season, right?
That was the Sam Darnold year. Yeah. They got it all figured out. So the South does not have a very good history in this game.
No, they do not. But I want to talk about Utah, right? Because I think if you just turned the radio on and you heard you and I talk, you would be like, oh, here go the Duck homers. Utah stands no chance. No, Utah stands a really good chance. I don't want to misconstrue this. I like Oregon in the bounce back revenge spot, but this isn't 2019 to me. Like, if that happens, then great. We'll react to that come Monday of like, holy crap, we saw Oregon doing that. This Utah team is tough. They're feisty. And the start of their season might be an indicator of who they truly are. And I'll explain what I mean by that. We'll talk a little bit more about this. How confident are you, Duck fan, about the Pac-12 title game tonight? The rematch against Utah 2 weeks after Utah beat you by 31. They play the Pac-12 title game tonight in Vegas, 5 o'clock kick. We'll talk a little bit more about that next on The Fan.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
All right, welcome back in. Daily Ticker coming up. We probably won't have a guest unless Dirt the Duck wants to hop on the line.
You show me to honk it up.
Well, I think from time to time you let it out, but I think you have it in you. Like, if I really was to push
it's
you.
It's in there. It's always in there, yeah.
Dirt the Duck, how you feel about Tavion Thompson? And you could just go off for 10 minutes. But, you know, I think in this one, we talked to Oregon. And it feels like we're kind of in the same spot. Maybe we're not. I don't know where you're truly at in terms of confidence. I kind of like Oregon in the bounce back revenge spot, but
yeah, my confidence isn't that high. I it's hard for me. I see everything you're saying, the 2019 game. And to be fair, you said that in 2019 and I laughed at you. Utah was playing good football. Oregon had lost to Arizona State and then in the Civil War played like crap and were lucky to win that game at home. I didn't think they had a shot in hell at winning that one. They just looked like a team that had kind of given up on the year and they came out and played one of their best games of the season. That's one of the more, it's a great thing. You know, it's a great trait for Mario Cristobal. It's also a very frustrating trait of Mario Cristobal.
Because if you show up to the Stanford game, right, you're not playing for a playoff spot. Probably.
If you show up the first time you play Utah, you're not in this problem of, hey, you know, it's just a Rose Bowl berth on the line. But he does have the ability to get his team up for certain games. And when they show up, they play a certain way. It's you can't ignore it. And you don't know if that's going to be the performance they bring tonight or not.
But let's be fair to Utah, because I think the difference is that Oregon team was better than this Oregon team. Maybe not in every position, but I just feel like that Oregon team was pretty damn good. And I thought,
agree with you there. This is a young, I mean, we forget, I think, sometimes how young this Oregon team is. I was at senior day. I don't know if you got in early enough.
Yeah, I saw it.
It was over quick. And a handful of the guys were
juniors.
A lot
of guys nobody knew. They were like, who is that
guy? You're talking practice squad guys, you know, walk-on kind of guys. Kayvon Thibodeau was one of the guys that went through senior day.
They trotted out a junior because they know he's bouncing.
There were not a lot of difference-making seniors that were honored. And just it was a reminder to me of, that's right, there's a lot of young guys on this team.
I think the one thing about that is Kayvon got himself a great deal. He basically agreed to come to Oregon on the terms of, I get to do and sit out when I want, and I want a standing ovation at the end of the year, and you don't fault the program for doing that for a five-star edge rusher who's going to be a top five pick in the draft. That being said, Utah deserves a lot of credit because Utah started 1-2. I remember watching the San Diego State game because I thought they'd have a bounce back spot. And by the way, the Aztecs, not such a bad program this year. They lost that game. They changed quarterbacks. They were 1-2. You said, well, we'd heard a lot about Utah. Bill Riley told us this is probably the more talented team compared to the 19 group. And they're so deep, and they have all this talent on defense. They got their run game going, and then they dropped to 1-2, and you said, well, there goes Utah. Mm-hmm. And then they proceeded to go on a tear. What did you have? It was 8 out of 9?
They've won 8 out of 9. The only loss was the game to Oregon State.
Which I still can't believe they lost that. They were 14-0 in that spot. Yeah. And I think that's the thing for Utah tonight. If Utah's going to beat Oregon for the second time and win their first Pac-12 championship game, they have to have a good start. And I really believe this. I think the start of this game, who strikes first, the way the energy's going, I think it dictates it for Utah. Because for me, Oregon is capable of the comeback. I've seen it. They were down 14-0 to UCLA. They outscored them 34-3 after that. Utah, they've blown a lead. And so I just think they need to be in a position tonight where even if they've blown a lead, they need to have their confidence going, right? They fed off that Rice-Eccles energy, especially when they capped it off the first half of that Brenton Covey punt return.
Those cameras were shaking.
I feel like Oregon's the kind of team that if you can punch them in the mouth first, you've now brought them to your level. It doesn't mean you're going to win, but I just can't imagine Utah getting down to Oregon early and coming back, whereas I've seen Oregon have a comeback before, and I could see them maybe getting back into the football game. I think the start of this is huge for the Utes, and we know they're capable because we saw them do it against Oregon 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, to everything you're saying about Utah, they deserve a ton of credit. They have been through so much off the field, and we talked with Kyle Whittingham about that yesterday. It's remarkable how they've been able to overcome it. I can't even imagine the heartbreak that existed inside that locker room last offseason, and then again early on in the year this year, and to go from where they were early in the season to get to this point to have another shot at a conference championship game. It's one of the best coaching jobs that he's ever done. And you got to give, you just tip the cap, man. If Oregon is to lose tonight, I know Oregon and Utah has kind of become this rivalry and they've played each other now on big stages a few times. There's no doubt. There will be a small sliver of me that is very happy for Kyle Whittingham to getting to this point. He is as good as they get. We love talking to him. He's a genuine guy, and it would be a huge accomplishment for him and his program. I hope that Oregon keeps him from doing it, but there would be a small sliver of me that says, okay, I'm happy for him and what they've been able to accomplish. There is a few simple keys for me tonight. The first and foremost is the Anthony Brown that showed up against Oregon State's got to show up tonight. He has been a quarterback that some games looks like he doesn't belong on a football field, and some games look like he can make any throw that he wants to. And some of the throws that he was making in key situations against Oregon State, he played his best game of the season. You know, rolling out to his right, pressured out of the pocket, on the run, one leg, throws it 50 yards on the money to Devin Williams for an easy touchdown. You know, some of the long 3rd-and-8, 3rd-and-9 conversions where he's hitting Chris Hudson, going over the middle on a slant. He's got a DB right on his back. If he throws it behind him, it's going to be intercepted or deflected, putting balls right where they needed to be. That was his best performance of the season. And to come off 17-35 for 231, really bad game against Utah the week before, you need the Anthony Brown that showed up against Oregon State to show up tonight. And then, you know, a lot of what Oregon wants to do on both sides of the ball, it starts and stops at the line of scrimmage.
Yeah.
And that was the key we talked about going into Utah, and it was the biggest disappointment for me. I've seen Anthony Brown struggle. I've seen him have bad games. I have not seen Oregon get dominated at the line of scrimmage the way they did in that game very often in the Mario Cristobal tenure. And they ran the ball 23 times for 63 yards. That's less than 3 yards a carry. It's a horrible game running the ball for Oregon, whereas Utah ran it 50 times for 208. They took a lead, they leaned on you, and they ran the ball for 208 yards. In the other games that have sandwiched the Utah game for Oregon, they ran for 300 against Washington, 300 against Washington State, and then 231 this past week against Oregon State. That's their offense. That's what they want to do. And I know Utah probably, you could argue, has a better defense than any of those teams. I think the Huskies have a pretty good defense, but that's what you have to be able to run the football. They couldn't get it going on the ground early. They fell down 14-0, and then all of a sudden it's Anthony Brown, go save us, make plays.
Yeah.
And I don't want to live in that space again. I think you gotta stay neck and neck with Utah so you don't have to get out of a dimension of your offense as the game goes on.
So it's remarkable. If you dive into a lot of the key stats within the Pac-12 this year, this is a mirror image of team. It really is. Yeah. Like, if
the
you go
stats
through,
are identical.
If you go through all of the statistics you'd want to look up, rush defense, rushing offense, passing defense, third down conversion rate, red zone conversion rate, penalties, time of possession. I mean, you go through a lot of these, and they are neck and neck. They're right there. Utah average, by the way, to what you're saying, 4.2 yard average when they played Oregon a couple weeks ago. Oregon's offense was seemingly shut down. They were almost shut out. I mean, they had that second half touchdown to start off. That was all they had.
That was it.
I'll give you the one big thing here, and this isn't like eye-opening, oh my God, what a stat. The one thing Mario has to have his guys ready for, this is where Utah separates themselves. It's penalties. Oregon's averaging 7 a game, Utah's 4. Now, when do those penalties happen, and in what spot? That could dictate everything. If you can cut that down.
Yeah, lost in the Stanford game.
It absolutely did. It gave Stanford that extra play. I know it wasn't a great call and helped him on that drive.
Well,
but
even the drive before, they false started twice on 1st-and-10.
Right. So they tend to get in their own way, and that's what you know you need to cut down. Because there's one thing that I know, that rush defense for Oregon, to see Utah do that, to bully around that team. This is the second best rush defense in the conference. They're just behind UCLA, Oregon is. But Utah's also third. So to see Utah slow Oregon's run game down wasn't shocking, but to see Utah just run all over Oregon, that was.
Yep.
And that's why I think this is going to be a much different matchup than what we saw 2 weeks ago. You just don't expect Oregon to play that way, but it's penalties for me. Is Oregon going to get in their own way, or are they going to be able to cut that down from 7 and maybe match Utah at 4, or even match it or cut it down even more to 3 or 2? Huge. It's going to be huge tonight. And Oregon has to get off to a great start from a confidence perspective and to maybe make Utah go, oh, crap. We boat raced this team last time. And here they are.
They brought it. Yeah, just to send that message early on in the game. Even in the second half against Oregon State, there were a lot of drives that they were trying to shoot themselves in the foot with penalties.
I couldn't believe how many false starts they had in that game.
It was insane. They were able to overcome it for most of the time on some of those drives. But that's been one of their bugaboos all season. Yeah. I don't know what to chalk it up to. It's been a problem for them. The other two things that I'll point out for tonight is I do feel better about the wide receiver situation than I did 2 weeks ago. You know, 2 weeks ago, you're going into that game. You're coming on the heels of Micah Pittman transferring. You're like, all right, great. We're giving up on a team with two games to go. That's kind of weird. And then all of a sudden, you find out 10 minutes before kickoff, oh, by the way, Johnny Johnson and Jalen Redd aren't playing. I love the way that Chris Hudson has played the last 2 weeks. You've now had back-to-back games with guys like Thornton and guys like Troy Franklin having to play a ton of snaps. And so they're not quite as, you know, green behind the ears, if you will. They're going to be ready to go. And so I feel a little bit better about the wide receiver situation than I did the last time you played. And one other thing that we didn't really talk about out of that loss for Oregon that is going to absolutely need to be addressed, Brant Cuthie, their tight end at Utah, he ate Jamal Hill alive. They had no answer for him. You look at the line for Cameron Rising, he was 10 of 18 for 178 yards.
Yeah.
Cuthie had 5 of those catches, so half of his completions went to Cuthie and 118 yards. Like, that's almost, I mean, what, 70% of your passing yards on the game? I mean, it was insane. He was their passing game, and Oregon did not have an answer for it. You go back to the last week's game against Oregon State, they couldn't cover a tight end to save their life, man. Yeah. Musgrave ate them a lot. 7 catches for 85 yards, a touchdown. Like, they had no answer for the tight end. So whatever the hell you're doing defensively to guard a tight end, it ain't working, and you better have an answer tonight because Utah's got one of the best in the conference.
My final thought, and we don't have a ticker guess. That's the beauty of it not being sponsored, is sometimes you can flex out of it if you don't have it. But Mario has got to not make boneheaded mistakes. Now, I'm not saying this is specifically his fault. The punt, for example, at the end of the first half, dude, there's 3 seconds left. You have to kick that ball out of bounds and you make Utah just take a knee, go to the locker. You cannot be putting plays like that up in the air and say, well, go make a play. No. In that moment, you got to kind of protect your team. So I want to see if Mario is going to be able to cut that out, that one or two plays that just doesn't go. And again, it's not all his fault. He's not the coach of that unit, but at the end of the day, it falls on him if his team can execute or not. And so we'll see how it goes. No daily ticker guess unless Dirt wants to be Dirt the Duck, because everybody in Oregon is either asleep or they just hate us. I mean, that's always the possibility. So we'll have more college football and the NFL slate. It is really good this weekend. There's some really interesting matchups. We'll get into all that coming up next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
All right, welcome back in. Dirt the Duck and Sprague here. 7:36 on your Friday morning.
Sprague the Ute.
Sprague the Ute, yeah.
We did that as a promo.
After liking
one's
the
a duck, one's a ute.
I don't think I don't quite have the same ring to it.
No, it
doesn't. Want to read a couple thoughts here at the fan text line that are coming in. We always appreciate your interaction. 503-250-1080. We'll get to some NFL stuff in a bit. We got to pick the Oregon game. And, hey, by the way, there's another Pac-12 game this weekend as well. And then, of course, spreading the line at 8:30. I got to finalize my picks. I'm all over the board right now.
That's a very good point.
But I want to read a couple thoughts here. Somebody said, I will be interested to see if the Ducks win the revenge match tonight, how they handle being on the flip side of that against Ohio State in the Rose Bowl. That's a good point.
Oh, yeah. If they
do win tonight, it's likely your opponent, I would imagine, in the Rose Bowl.
I'd be a little concerned about that match.
A hair concerned, sure. Also, I would not be shocked at all if Kayvon Thibodeau didn't play in that game. We've seen that trend a lot the last handful of years where guys are in the New York Six games are just like, it's not worth it, and I can't blame them at all for it.
Go get that money.
Kirk Herbstreit will yell at them, but I don't really care. It sucks, but I totally understand why they do it. Somebody said, for the love of God, can the defense get off the field on third down, please? That's a great point. Let me pull up the exact stats. Utah in that win, golly, they were 11 of 14 on third down.
11 of 14?
11 of 14, man.
To their credit, they do convert their third downs 49% of the time. They are third in the conference. You know who's first?
Oregon Ducks.
Yeah.
Yeah, they've had a great year on third down. Did not have a great game against Utah on third down. But a lot of that was rising, scrambling around. He was great with his legs in those situations, and they just couldn't get off the field.
Well, I think, one more thought on this for me. If your run game isn't there at the beginning, I'm curious to see how that offense is going to respond to that. You mentioned Anthony Brown. He had a really good game against Oregon State. I'll say this. It was embarrassing to watch the defense Oregon State was trotting out there. They had DBs 20 yards off, guys. I'm like,
agreed.
You're giving up 8 to 12 yards every play. Give Brown the credit. I don't think Utah's going to have that approach. How much are you going to trust Anthony Brown in that spot if the run game doesn't get it established?
Not a lot. That's the problem with this year's Oregon team. He's shown at times in certain spots he could do it, but not consistently enough. Nowhere near consistently enough. Somebody said, I'm awake. I love listening to you guys most of the time, 65% of the time. That's pretty good clip.
Only 65%.
65% of the time it works every time, and we appreciate you listening 100% of the time. I totally agree with your takes on Oregon. The game, I got Oregon winning 30-24. And then I thought this one was interesting. So somebody had asked about the thoughts on playing the game on Friday. And this, I know we debate this kind of every year, just how it fits in a conference championship week. Somebody said, I was curious, how do you feel about them playing the game on a Friday instead of Saturday? I hate it. Throws off the rhythm of the week, makes it harder for people trying to travel to it. I'd much rather they move the game to Saturday evening, but it's on brand for this league to put it in a who cares time slot with less eyeballs. Oh. I don't view Friday primetime 5:00 on ABC as a who cares time slot. I think the ratings for this game, when you get compelling matchups, can be solid whether they're Fridays or Saturdays.
This is on ABC, not Fox?
It's an ABC. Kirk Herbstreit and Chris Fowler on the call tonight.
Oh, okay. It's usually a Fox game, isn't it?
I think they trade it off every once in a while because I do have memories of Gus Johnson and Joe Klatt kind of calling the game. But yeah, I think it's a Fowler-Herbstreit game. I do know that tonight. It's on ABC. I guess the retort to it is, isn't that kind of where the conference is at right now? Because if you're going to put, you're not going to play it at 9 o'clock in the morning, you know, in the, you're on closer to the West Coast, right? So do you want to put it in the middle of the afternoon head to head against the SEC title game tomorrow?
No. And look, that listener's making very valid points. I'm going to push back just on this. The conference needs to do what it can. This is my stance on the 9 a.m. kick. I understand most people hate it. It's your standalone spot. It's an opportunity for you to be separated from the collective. And I know this conference isn't great this year. It's embarrassing. But just for the conference championship's sake, I'll take Friday if you're going to give me the window on Friday at 5 o'clock because there's nothing else to watch for a lot of people.
Hey, you're staying alone show. You're the only one in town.
So, you know, at least for that reason, I'll take the Friday. But I think the listener's points are still valid.
Yeah, if you try to go to that early time slot tomorrow, right, you're going head-to-head with the Big 12, so you're going to have competition for viewing. If you go middle of the afternoon, you know, 12:30, 1 o'clock kick, you're going head-to-head with Georgia, Alabama. And if you try and say, all right, let's go Saturday night primetime, you already have the Michigan-Iowa game at 5 o'clock and the ACC title game is at 5 o'clock.
You largely lose every single one of those TV window battles with all of those games. More people would care about the Big 12, the SEC, and the Big 10.
Yeah, outside, I think you could beat the ACC probably with your matchup because Oregon is more of a household name than Pittsburgh or Wake Forest, as is Utah. But any of those other matchups, I'm with you. So that's it's a kind of a catch-22. I understand you wish that it was more a part of the overall weekend and playing the game on Saturday. But you know, these television networks are playing an eyeball game, and if they're gonna have the rights to that game, and you're gonna put it on a Saturday, what is the viewership difference? I think you're losing a ton of them if you're matching it up with one of these other conference championship games. And so, until you can get to a point as a conference, and maybe you get there, you know, let's fast forward 5 years from now, and let's say Mario's still at Oregon and he's got this thing rolling, and they're competing for national titles, and Lincoln Riley does to USC what everybody thinks he's going to do at USC, and that's kind of a perennial matchup, if you will, where you get two top 10 teams going at it with playoff positioning on the line and all that. Yeah, then I think the game is going to be a much bigger deal across the country. But unfortunately for the Pac-12 the last handful of years, that's kind of where we've been. It's like, oh, Pac-12 title game. All right. I think people will watch tonight, 5 o'clock on ABC. It's a nationally televised game. You'll get some decent eyeballs. But some fans, not a fan of that. I do get the traveling angle of it, too, though. Like when you win a game and you find out you're going on Saturday and it's like, hey, by the way, you got to get there by Friday for the game. That does make it a lot more difficult.
Well, you know, I'm curious to see what the Duck contingent is. I'm sure it'll be pretty loud and pretty decent. Like Vegas is a... It's an appealing spot, man. Like, that's the other part of this game. Like, we're talking about the Utah-Oregon matchup, and that's all well and good. It's more important. It's awesome to finally have this thing in Vegas.
Yeah.
We've wanted this since they announced they were building that stadium. It kind of had the breadcrumbs around the Pac-12 that they were probably going to do this. And I know Larry Scott's the one that implemented it, but now you got a new commissioner. You got to kind of have a fresh start, I think, as a conference. You have a great destination for your conference championship game. And I think that part of it, pretty exciting.
Can't wait, man. It's going to be fun. I hope it's a good atmosphere. I think there'll be a good contingent of fans from both schools. Closer drive for Utah, a little easier for them to get there. But from the looks of our Twitter timeline and some of the people that have texted in, it's going to be a lot of Duck fans there as well. So good atmosphere. First time in Vegas. Cannot wait. I want to dive in. I got a question on college football. If you were gambling, which of these two would you take? Because I find the narrative around one team in the country kind of interesting. And we'll start kind of looking into some of these other matchups across the country as it's conference championship week. And boy, oh boy, is there a lot on the line all day tomorrow. And I can't wait. College football question and conference championship previews. That's next on The Fam.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
Somebody just noticing the Oregon uniforms for tonight. Yeah, they're wearing the McFlurries again.
The Oreo McFlurry.
The Oreo McFlurries, man. They're breaking those out in Vegas.
You like those as...
No, I don't like those jerseys
I thought
all.
The plaidie was cool because we had the orange and the green. I like that.
I like the color schemes. Yeah, the only thing that beats that is wearing the throwbacks. I think if both schools wear throwbacks, I'm a fan of that. But yeah,
imagine 1994 Duck uniform with the Fiesta Bowl Beeve uniform.
Oh, hell yeah, dude.
Holy uniform erection.
This shouldn't be that difficult, but for some reason, they don't pay us to come up with this stuff. I'm going to ask you guys a college football question, so I can't wait. I think it's going to be a great weekend. You said this is the best football weekend the rest of the year. And I see your point, man. A lot on the line in conference championship games, a great slate, NFL football, which we'll get to here in a moment. If I were to give you a bet, I'm going to give you $100. Would you place it on Georgia to win the national championship, or would you place it on the field to win the national championship? And do you even really have to think that hard? Are you that set on? Because I think most people would probably lean Georgia.
Well, the odds would be, if you're doing a situation like that, Georgia's probably a good favorite then.
They're probably a good favorite.
You're giving me good odds.
Giving you decent odds.
I'll play the field.
To have a Michigan, Oklahoma State, Cincinnati, Alabama.
Yes.
Whoever it might be.
To me, Dirt, as good as the Georgia defense is, we know the Georgia offense isn't always the greatest offense. Now, I know you can look at the numbers and go, well, Sprague, they scored 50 and 40 and 40 and 30. I know. But when you play other really good defensive-minded teams, I think Georgia is susceptible offensively to be brought down a level, and then you get into one of those SEC-type, 12-9 finals. I think Michigan, we saw it against Ohio State with their pass rush.
They can play some defense, man.
I think with that defensive line and rush that they have at Michigan, they could cause some problems. And I'll say this. I know we think of the Big 12 and Oklahoma State, offense. You know what's really thrived in Stillwater this year? It's their defense.
That's the reason they're 11-1.
It absolutely is, because Gundy's got a defense that is allowing sub 100 yards per game defensively. I think that unit could give them a lot of problems, because I think they're going to beat Baylor. If it's Cincinnati, no. But and even Alabama, let's see what Bama can do. I don't think they'll play as bad as they did against Auburn. But that remains to be seen. If you gave me $100, I'm betting the field.
Take the field.
Yeah, Georgia's -225. To win the whole thing. Bama's next at +600, and then Michigan at +800.
Yeah, those are great odds on Michigan.
Those are very good odds.
I'd be willing to throw a few dollars on that, just because I think Michigan's got a defense that can keep them in any game.
I wish we could bet on college legally here.
Another idea that we have why can't we do it?
You can. You just have to make a drive.
You got to drive.
To our good friends out at Spirit Mountain.
Yeah, yes. That's where the numbers are from there. They're partners at MGM.
Yeah, so I find that interesting, because I think Georgia, this is a huge test for them this weekend. A note on the Michigan stuff, because you mentioned that game is the one you were most excited for earlier, Sprague, the Michigan-Iowa game, 5 o'clock on Fox tomorrow. The line has gone up in Michigan's favor. They're now up to 11. I think in some places. So money continues to come in on the Wolverines. Remember, there was a real tragic moment in the state of Michigan this week. They had that school shooting. Earlier today or late last night, they've sewn a patch into their jersey to honor the victims that passed away earlier this week. It just was a tragic, you can't avoid the scenes on the news when you turn it on. The other thing I saw, too, is Jim Harbaugh. I don't know if you guys saw this earlier this week. So he not only took his salary and cut it in half from last year just to keep his job, basically took his buyout away. He just said, I want to be the coach here. We're going to figure it out. And good for him. He's done that. On top of that, these coaches have a lot of incentives and bonuses that come with the success that he's having this year. And him and his wife came out, made a statement earlier this week that they're taking any incentive dollar that they earn, any bonus dollar that he makes, and he's donating it back to the athletic department.
Wow.
For all the people that had their salaries cut and pay cut last year during the pandemic.
He's really turned it around for himself in the last year, man.
Like, I saw that, and it's just like,
50% pay cut is his alma mater.
Just to keep his job. Like, he was desperate to keep his job. He said, pay me half. I'm gonna earn your respect back, and I'm going to win this year. And then to do that he could probably, if they win this weekend, win a Big Ten championship, they get to a college football playoff. I mean, you could be looking at close to $1 million in bonuses. Yeah. He's just saying, you know what? No, these people deserve it, because they had to take pay cuts last year.
Well, much like this country, thoughts and prayers. Let's move on, not talk about school shootings. But, really good move by Harbaugh there. You look at the line here, 51% of the bets on Michigan. So it's pretty close to being split. And then 58% of the money coming in on the Wolverines. So a lot of people like him. KT has the pick. I'm not going to make the same picks as him. That was one I contemplated. I think they're going to steamroll Iowa. I really believe beating Ohio State meant so much to them, and now they know they're one win away from being in the playoff. I don't see a letdown here, and I respect what Kirk Ferentz has established at Iowa, but I kind of feel like this is going to end up being something like 34-10. Like, I really think they're going to beat down the Hawkeyes. It's a big moment for Harbaugh, man. I know he's not everybody's cup of tea. He does a lot of the whining on the sidelines, and he wears the khakis.
He's got his glasses on that are kind of weird.
He's Mr. Milkman. Like, he's always drinking milk and talking about milk. He's a good coach. He's a good coach. And we talked about this a few weeks ago. This is what he needed to do. He needed to beat Ohio State. He needs to win a Big Ten title, because other than that, you're paying a dude a whole lot of money to come up short in big spots where you're not paying him to come up short. So this is a big opportunity for him, and he's done a hell of a job turning it around, taking a pay cut, donating that money to other employees that, you know, have much less than him, and he's leading a team potentially to a playoff. It's a really good 2 weeks here for Jim Harbaugh.
Let me throw one other scenario at you, and this is why I think this weekend is so fun, because it could go a million different ways, right? Alabama wins, curveball, oh my God, what the hell are we going to do? Who are the other two teams? And so there's a million different scenarios. I'm gonna throw this one at you. Georgia beats Alabama like we expect, right? You get your first game of the day tomorrow.
Do we expect that?
I do expect Georgia to beat Alabama.
It's only a six-point spread.
I know it is. I from what we've seen from the two teams, I would be slightly surprised if Alabama's to win that game. They have at least looked vulnerable, and they've lost this year, whereas Georgia has steamrolled literally everybody on their schedule. Yep. What's their even closest game this year?
Georgia's?
Yeah, they've been within two touchdowns, anybody?
The first half of the Kentucky game, they were only up 14-7. They separated themselves.
They won 30-13.
Clemson? Probably Clemson.
Okay, so going all the way back to week one, they won 10-3.
Pick six, I think, was the touchdown in that game.
Since then, their closest score... Yeah, it looks like... It was the Kentucky game since then.
Yeah.
A 17-point win. So they have just steamrolled everybody on their schedule. So I'm throwing that at you. Georgia wins that game. You get an Oklahoma State touchdown win over Baylor early in the morning, and then Cincinnati beats Houston later on in the afternoon by, let's say, 14.
Okay.
Who gets the fourth spot?
Oklahoma State's going to get the playoff spot.
You think they're jumping Cincinnati? Yes. Or they're jumping Cincinnati?
If
a 13-0 Cincinnati?
Yes.
With a win over a ranked team and a win over an undefeated, or a one-loss, Notre Dame?
Well, it's not a very good Notre Dame team. It's been vastly overrated. And, yeah, I think it's a Power 5 conference that's really well-respected within that committee. You're a group of five team. They've been telling us this all year long. If they can keep them out, they will. That's why if Alabama wins and Oklahoma State wins, I think Cincinnati's going to get screwed here if Michigan can also win. That is the scenario. Is it fair? I mean, you can make an argument it's not, but the committee does not want to play this group of five game. That's why the expansion stuff is going to be coming. So they don't have to deal with this nightmare and headache when you have a team like Cincinnati emerge and make a case for themselves to be in the playoff. Yes, I think Oklahoma State is going to jump Cincinnati if they win the Big 12.
Interesting. We'll have to wait and see.
You don't think so?
I don't know. They've been pretty firm on Cincinnati, it feels like, the last couple of weeks, but maybe another win over a top, because Baylor's number 9 and Cincinnati's playing number 21 Houston. So yes, the resume is going to get boosted.
Houston won't be in the rankings, by the way, if they lose that game. Baylor will still be in the rankings if Oklahoma State wins their game.
Which is also kind of funny, because Houston is 11-1 on the year.
They're having a very good season.
Having a good year this year. But I can't wait, man. It's going to be a lot of fun. Starts tonight, obviously, Oregon and Utah, and then all day tomorrow, conference championships. Then remember, you get your little selection show on Sunday morning, and we'll find out. We'll see if there's any drama or if the results take all the drama out of it for us and there's not even a debate to be had. Lots to get to in the final hour of the show. We got to pick those Pac-12 games this weekend. We'll save that for a little bit later on, because that's going to be a quick segment. Oregon, Utah, there is one other random Pac-12 game that's happening, so we'll pick both of those in one of our final editions of Pac-12 Picks Against the Spread. We'll spread the line at the bottom of the hour at 8:30. So get your fake sponsors in, 503-250-1080. I want to dive in, though, to start the final hour on the NFL slate, because we have not talked a lot of NFL this week. A lot of our attention's been on the college football landscape and conference championships. What games stand out the most to you? A huge challenge for Justin Herbert this weekend, going up against a guy that was in the same draft class as him. It's a great slate of NFL football. We'll start diving into it to kick off the final hour next on The Fam.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds.
You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.